All right, everyone, this is not a drill. You know, there's that moment when you realize that things are different and everything that maybe you took for granted, you need to reevaluate. And there is kind of a process that I think is very valuable to go through once you have that realization. And I think this conversation about making sure you understand the lay of the land, you understand where you find yourself, I think that is going to be valuable just for us personally, but also for you. And I'd kind of like to compare notes. So to help me with this, I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan. Yeah, I'm doing quite well. This is not a drill. That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah, I mean, I think all of us are waking up to the realization that, you know, this clearly is not something we can just ignore by any means. I think, you know, to varying degrees, people have been looking at this for the last, you know, weeks, months even. And, you know, people are all across the spectrum of level of concern. But I think it's kind of coalescing to realize, like, A, this is something real, and B, like, this is impacting potentially everybody economically, certainly, but also health-wise. I think, you know, probably like the biggest public service announcement that I want to get across is like, this is, and probably the most dangerous thing I've heard is that this is just something that's impacting elderly people. I think that was what people were seeing early on in China. And right now, I think I just read an article that said in New York State, 53% of the cases are people 18 to 49. So I think like the biggest piece of information that, not that you're looking to me for medical advice by any means, and this is not medical advice, but I see a lot of people potentially saying, oh, it's not going to impact me, or, oh, it's going to be mild. Like, just because you happen to be under 50, like, I think we need to start realizing that that is outdated information at this point. So that's kind of my little PSA here.
More PSAs to follow. I think the point, another point to add on to that is that, like, in the United States, we have not tested, and that's a policy failure. We just haven't tested, and hopefully that's kind of being remedied to some degree. We're not where we should be right now, but you're going to start seeing that hopefully ramp up, and we're going to, one, have better data about who is affected, but then two, almost as a guarantee, we are going to have a huge surge in cases. And the problem is, because we don't have the data, we're not going to know whether or not it's because it's spreading rapidly or whether or not it's because we're finally testing and we should have been testing all along, but we're finally testing. It's conflated. But it actually, I kind of want to partition out, because that's so far out of like what we can control, what is becoming increasingly obvious that the economic damage is real and it's built in. And like, whatever happens with the coronavirus and COVID-19, over the next, I don't know, probably 45 days. 45 days is kind of like what all of us were kind of looking at this to see what's going on. We'll have more information then, but the economy isn't even really waiting to find out.
Yeah, but Jonathan, the cool thing, and you know, I think people come to Choose a Phi because we as the Phi community, we think a little bit differently. And I think now is the time for us to show this. And I saw something just in my own life here this weekend of an example of somebody being resilient and pivoting, right? Like, you could say it's doom and gloom, or you can try to find a better answer. So for instance, my daughters take piano lessons. Now their teacher lives literally less than a mile away. I mean, it's normally like, you know, we're over there in a minute drive and that's that, right? They have their little 30-minute lesson, but we thought we were going to have to cancel this thing going forward. And we were trying to figure out, and the teacher was trying to figure out, like, is there a better way? So we said, why don't we try to do this lesson over Skype? And I wound up setting up a chair on this like perfect little angle behind them, and set up high. We put a stack of books. I put my laptop on this. And so the teacher could overlook their fingers and see what was going on. And Anna had a lesson at, let's say, 3 o'clock, and Molly had the lesson at 3:30, and they were able to succeed with this. And it was really cool. Like, I asked the girls after, like, what do you think? Was that pretty close to you know, what Miss Erin does when you go to her house? And they're like, yeah, it was almost exactly the same. I mean, maybe it was a little bit slightly worse, but like it was really great. And that's just an example of like pivoting, right? Like we could have just said, no, this is not going to happen. And she probably would have lost all of her clients, right? All the kids that she tutors. But she's now trying it. And I think that's brilliant. And I think a lot of people can replicate something very, very similarly, right? Like think about how can you do this from a distance? How can you do this using technology? So there almost always is another answer. And I challenge everybody out there to try to find it. Or maybe even, do you have some skill that you'd like to teach somebody? Like there might be people out there who would pay you for an hour of your time. Like you have a lot of time now, right? Like you can't use the excuse that you're busy and you don't have any time. Like maybe you won't get as many dollars per hour as you'd hope in a perfect world, but it sure beats nothing, right? Like it's better than zero. And I think that's kind of just a cool way. Like just rethink the problem. And we all have to do that moving forward.
It is interesting. The art of the pivot, you know, I think that is what so many individuals and so many small business owners, that's what all of us are probably going to need to sort in some capacity. At the business owner level, I think there's really going to be a lot of value, Brad, in talking about what the art of the pivot actually looks like. I think this is going to expose, give everybody the opportunity to think like things that they would never have challenged in the past because it was working okay. You know, like you didn't want to risk it. Now, you know, you're not given a choice. You have to try something new. And there's going to be a lot of opportunities that are going to open up because someone that was kind of like, it was okay, it was working, realized it's not working anymore, and they got to pivot with it. And I think one thing we can do from a small business owner perspective is as our community continues to highlight resilience and how they're using the art of the pivot in these times, just put those back into the community to help others as well. I think at an individual level, it's kind of the same idea. I mean, those of us that were kind of maybe just a little bit better than paycheck to paycheck, just a little bit better, we have been given this opportunity, if you will, to look at everything that we took for granted and say, is this really adding significant value to my life? If not, it has never been easier. And as an individual, you've probably never been more motivated to actually make small changes, small improvements. And I can give you a couple of practical examples from our own life. So one thing that the Mendonza family had experienced, I got two little kids and one is, one's going to be about eight or nine months right now. And the other one is just about turned 3 years old. And while I'm working on Choose FI, my wife tends to carry a lot of the heavyweight, right? In terms of giving them care and attention and all these different things. And when I shut down Choose a Five for the day, very much there's kind of that cabin fever mentality. We got to get out of the house. We got to go do an activity. We've got to get in the car and go somewhere or whatever, you know? And that to some degree wasn't something that either I really pushed back on or that we never really like questioned. We would go do something. And a lot of times there would be a purchase, you know, attached to that. But right now we're really trying to reel in the amount of activities that we're doing, the places that we're actually going, because this moment is challenging us on that, right? Stay at home, limit your contact with humanity from a physical level. And so we're actually now reassessing what that period of time in the afternoon looks like. What are we actually doing? And we're using it to do walks around the neighborhood. We're using it to do activities with my son. In fact, my son really enjoys this this book series that it's written by this author, Bill Peete, who's a former Disney animation guy. And he has an amazing group of books. And one thing I've doing with my son that's a really cool activity is I'm actually drawing new pages for the books for him. So, you know, as I kind of take a little bit of the kids away from my wife, we have this book series that he loves and he knows how it ends. So I'm wanting to learn how to draw and I'm wanting to learn how to do illustration and I'm just creating new pages for him to enjoy. And that's been kind of something that we've started as a family looking for ways that we can do things more that are internal as a form, as opposed to like external entertainment. And that kind of brings me to challenging assumptions about, you know, what you need to be spending money on in this time. Ideally, everyone in this audience, everyone listening to the show is in a great place financially. And even if they've lost, quote unquote, a lot of money on paper, like they're feeling very confident in their plan. But let's be honest, many people are coming and are listening from a place of concern, and they're not exactly sure how to map out or what the next several months are actually going to look like. And I think at its essence, this, just having going into your budget and looking at your budget, looking at your expenses with a very intentional mindset right now can, even though it's a little scary if you've never done it before, it can be incredibly valuable in terms of knowing, here's how much my life cost, and based on that, here's how much runway I have.
Yeah, I agree, Jonathan. I think, like you said, this is not a drill, right? Like, this is not a grazing mentality anymore, where we can just kind of move along and just kind of go with the flow. Everything's working reasonably well. So why make any tough choices, right? I think a lot of people just kind of go through life with that mentality is, you know, it's all working. It's working fine. I'm paying my bills. I'm covering it. That's got to be good enough. You know, I'm having fun. But I mean, I think when you have this big external event, you know, sometimes it really leads to some deep introspective thought, both mentally and what's going on in your own life, but with your economic situation as well. And I mean, I think especially when there's uncertainty, it's not an unrealistic thought to say, like, okay, now is really the time where I can decide, what do I need in my life? What really lights me up? What do I get value from? Like, what we've been talking about on Choosify for years, like, this is becoming there's a starker need for it, right? Because, I mean, you are now in the house. Again, there's some uncertainty, and you're also realizing, like, all right, what am I actually doing, right? Like, you have all this time. Like, if you were signed up for 17 different subscriptions, but you never really wanted to actually cancel any because, oh, I'll watch that someday, or, oh, I'll read that magazine next week. Like, and now you're not actually using it. Like, the proof is in the pudding, in essence, right? Like, we're finding that, Laura and I, in our own lives. Like, we have a couple of subscriptions to television services that we're realizing, like, even though we've tried to be mindful about this, like, there's always been that creep. But now we're saying, all right, you know, we have all these hours in the day, we're all here as a family, and we're not using this. Maybe it's time to cut it, you know? And I think maybe that's a good mental framework that we're trying to approach this with, is now is the time when we have all the time in the world. And if we are using something, we're getting value from it. Okay, great. If not, I think it might be time to cut. So I'd love to hear your thought process of how you're approaching this.
Yeah, I mean, what I did, and this is probably just a good exercise for people generally, is I kind of looked at my budget from a perspective of kind of tiers, core expenses, and then discretionary expenses, and there could be different levels thereof. But in terms of, like, if you look at your, if you treat your life and you treat your budget the same way you would treat maybe a business that you own, you don't want to run a business in the negative, and you certainly don't want to do that in your own personal life. And so, understanding at bare minimum your core expenses before we even talk about making cuts or whatever else, do you actually know the line items that are going out each and every month? And so I just kind of went through this exercise in our own family, you know, for our own family. And, you know, for us, our core expenses, and this is a form of, if you kind of work your way down the list, like, you, what are the things you absolutely have to have? You need to have housing, shelter, right? You need to be able to, feed your family. So groceries. And then maybe down, normally this is kind of on par with those, but realistically right now you'll see why it's kind of diminished. Like your transportation, right? Those would be the three that typically you would need to handle. You need to be able to pay your bill. So for us, it was groceries. It was our mortgage. It was our different forms of insurance, our home insurance, life insurance, our utilities. Those are the sorts of things that you want to know. Because everything else can basically just go. If it has to, it can absolutely go. And then once you have that number, and then you can map that out to what you're actually bringing in, say, okay, at its essence, at its core, based on my core expenses and based on my cash flow and my emergency fund, I'm good for this amount of time. There's a lot of strength and confidence that comes from having those two numbers work out. And then you can actually layer onto that. Okay, that's my core expenses. But then we have all of these extra expenses. And immediately what you've done is you said, oh, that's extra. Like if we can afford it, great. But if it's burning down on my emergency fund, if it's burning down on my cash flow, if I can't save anything when I keep those, then we don't need that. And what a great opportunity for you to challenge everything that you think you need. I mean, what's that basic lesson that kids have to learn? Wants versus needs. I think adults need to learn that too.
Yeah, that's actually an exercise that Jason and I did in our budget several months ago. We looked at what were our total monthly expenses, what was nice to have, and what was an essential. And this past week, you know, we know we're fine financially, but we wanted to look at the numbers and kind of ease some of the concerns that we have. So we looked at what is our essential spending? What is our cash that we have in reserves, either in bonds or just in a cash online savings account? And how quickly would it take us to burn through that amount of cash if we just paid for our essentials? If for some reason he lost his income, if I had nothing coming in, like the absolute worst case scenario, how long would it take us just to go through that? And what we did is we said, okay, we're going to discount any dividends that might be coming in because market's not doing great. And we're going to increase our expenses by that same percentage as well. So decrease dividends by 25%, increased expenses by 25%, just in case, again, not knowing what's going to happen. So taking those essential expenses, add on a little bit to it. We know that we would be able to last for a good long time. So I was able to take a nice deep breath. Okay, if the worst case scenario happens right now, which is both of us have nothing else coming in, you know, everything else is bad just with the cash on hand because we don't want to sell any of our stocks right now, we know we would be fine. And that was a really good exercise just for that alleviation of, okay, I've pictured the worst case scenario. I have visualized it. I can see that we would make it through. And in that period of time, we would find a way to then bring in more income. We would find a way to do something else before we got out of that cash and had to talk about selling equities or anything like that.
Yeah, I love that. That reminds me of something that Tim Ferriss talked about years ago. He called it fear setting, right? It's we can very easily spin these wild fear-based fantasies out of control and let it debilitate us. Or you can dive into it and face those fears, right? And put them on paper. Be honest about what those fears entail and then figure out, all right, is there a way around this? And in your case, like, now you have it on paper, and I'm sure that alleviates stress dramatically.
Absolutely. Yeah, that definitely. I mean, still, there's things to be concerned about just beyond the financial. I mean, worry about health or worried about family. But it's nice to know that that one worry, instead of, yeah, sitting there spiraling in our minds of the world's coming to an end, we can't do anything. It's okay. Well, at least from this point of view, we know on paper we're fine for X amount of time. So that felt nice.
And I will just say, if hopefully everyone here has an emergency fund. Hopefully everyone will take us up on this and go through this kind of cash burn rate exercise that we're discussing. What is your forecast for the next, I don't know, 6 months, next 1 year, next 2 years? What would it look like in a likely scenario, in the worst possible case scenario? Run it just to kind of get a sense. Fear casting, as Brad, you were alluding to. And I will say, if we're putting the focus on emergency funds generally, if you're talking about having, you know, several months of expenses, 6 months of expenses, 1 year of expenses, 2 years of expenses, whatever that may look like, if you're looking at this emergency fund, certainly don't just keep that in an account making 0.01%. Like you can optimize this. I'll just give you our personal favorite example, CIT Bank. CIT Bank right now is a high yield online savings account. Right now, even in current markets, they're offering, it's a 1.75%. This is a variable APR, but it's working in your favor. 1.75% savings account. That's incredible. And so if you just have this stowed away in a checking account somewhere, there's no reason to do that. Make sure that you're putting this in a high yield savings account, FDIC insured. Absolutely fantastic. This is not something you're not handling regular cash flow with this. This is there in case you need it. This is not so you can go pull something out of your ATM. This is it's there in case you need it. This is your war chest because this is not a drill. So if you are not yet using a high yield savings account, check it out. Choosefi.com/CIT. I think this would be a great choice. This is not a drill. All right, my friends, we'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.